Good evening, James McKenna here with my Science Hour. This is for March 19th, 2020, and wow, you would probably think that there's no other news than the coronavirus thing. So I'm going to defer that topic. I'm not going to talk about it, maybe a couple comments. But primarily, yesterday morning on the John Moore Show, where I'm a guest every Wednesday morning, I did a complete show. I told John I don't want to have callers. The callers were calling in like crazy, and we said on the air, no callers, because I wanted to cover all the topics that I wanted to get in on that. So I'm not going to repeat that. Go listen to John's show, first hour, yesterday, March 18th, and that whole hour is packed full of information relative things that you really need to know about all this baloney regarding the coronavirus. It's a bunch of baloney, that's what it is, and it's a completely fabricated story. They're making, as Shakespeare would say, much ado about nothing. Now, is there a virus? Very clearly, yes, there's a virus being passed around. Is it the cause for everything that's happening? No, not at all. So anyway, I'm not going to repeat that here. Just go there. And a lot of people, the pendulum is starting to swing the other way. And just like 9/11, everybody got caught up in it. Everybody. And when it happened, I remember sitting at my desk where I was working at the time. And I looked at the TV monitor and I said, this is all scripted. This is all pre-planned. You had America under attack, America under siege, America responds, you know, with this, oh my goodness. It was just, you know, and years later, people started to wake up that they had been had royally. And that's what this is. It's another you've been had deal, but courtesy of the same people. The same people are bringing you this that brought you 9/11. So, at any rate, as I say, go to the John Moore Show, The Liberty Man, on Wednesday morning, March 18th, and listen to that show. So that's pretty much my official statement regarding that. There's an association called the National Climate Assessment, and here's the situation. They're the ones who were betrothed with the study regarding climate, and this happened a long time ago. And so you might say the following: fund it, and they will find it. Fund it, and they will find it. Because scientists with a big broad check that. What if they came back and said, there's nothing here. There's no man-made irregularities in climate. There's nothing to it. Just go home. Well, they would have been out of a job. They would have had to go get another kind of job and do something else. So, of course, they came back with everything in the world and in the kitchen sink. And, you know, there's a lot of people I know, they're friends of mine, who are people that believe in that climate change and we've got to change the world. The simple fact is we just shouldn't be burning all of this a massive amount of fuel. We're using far too much energy. And even, you know, every aspect of the energy industry that you look at, it's just a big con job. Nothing, you can't say anything else, whether it's oil, alternative energy, whatever you look at, it's a giant con. Essentially, scientists are like squirrels that have forgotten how to forage. Back in the early days of the 20th century, the early 1900s, scientists had to produce. They had to produce something. They actually had to be scientists. And today, scientists can join a bandwagon, and if they throw enough darts at the board or enough mud at the wall, they're hoping that it sticks enough so that they get funding. So it's all about the funding. I've told this story before in the air. I was at American Geophysical Union meeting one time, and the woman and the it was a group from JPL next to me with their booth that the you call them tables or booths at the American Geophysical Union, and the booth next to me was from Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and they also were combined with Goddard Space Flight Center. And so anyway, I said hi. I'd never seen her before, and so she introduced herself, and I introduced myself, and she was probably in her 50s, I would say. I would just guess, you know, that this woman had raised a family and then gone back to school to get her PhD. That was my guesstimate, at any rate. And, you know, she seemed like kind of a mom type of person. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but at any rate, she had just barely gotten her PhD in space science and astrophysics. I don't know her exact, specialty, but she was with the high energy group, outer space high energy group. So anyway, we're talking, and she looks at my badge. Of course, everybody there looks at the badge, and they look for your name, and then they look for your affiliation. And my affiliation said independent scientist. And I could see her face. She kind of like did a double take. She goes, "What's independent scientist?" I said, "Well, I don't work for the government. I don't take government grants. I fund my own research. I do what I want to do." And she looked at me like I was the man from Mars. She said, "How can you do research without government funding?" That was her statement. It was like, no, this is not possible. This is some other universe you must be from. And that's the attitude that's pervasive in academia. Or in, you may as well call JPL and Goddard kind of like academia. These people live in their own little ivory tower of sorts. But yeah, scientists are like squirrels that forgot to forage. But the other thing is that the concept of science fear, of climate change, that if we don't do something immediately, if we don't ban all air travel, if we don't ban all, you know, cows, if we don't ban all, you know, whatever it is, we're all going to die. We're going to be dead in 10 years or at least. And, you know, that's it. That's the end of everything. We got to act right now. That's climate fear, or that's science fear in that respect. But it's led to the attitude, this kind of like, you know, here's the other issue, is the news media has to sell on fear. If the news media came out and said, "Hey, you know, everything's really good tonight. You know, there's not a lot to report. You know, this Molly down there in Chicago baked a pie and her friends came over and they all enjoyed afternoon tea, and their husbands are all very high paid executives. They're doing quite well. And, you know, it's really, there's nothing to worry about." Click. That news channel would go off the air so pronto. It'd go off the air like right pronto now. And so they have to, every night, it's like the end of the world. It's like the bottom's falling out. There's, you know, we're all going to die. Everything, we got to shut everything down. That sells news. That sells news. So the news media has been raking in the ratings based on the coronavirus baloney. And that's what it is. It's pure fabricated baloney. There's not a shred of basis for anything they're doing. And the tests are not reliable. They have an 80% false positive rate that's been proven. That means that 80% of the people they're saying have the virus don't have it. 80%. And the other 20 might have the flu or something else completely different. Their numbers are so off the wall, incredibly incorrect, that it doesn't make any sense. And even if they were correct, like the yesterday morning when I was on John's show, they talked about 200,000 cases worldwide. 200,000 cases worldwide, more kids than that die of hunger every night, than, you know, or all kinds of other things, all kinds of other maladies. I mean, good grief. It's really a small number. And then 8,000 dead, I mean, you could probably pick an average African country where there's 8,000 children starving to death on a given evening. You know, so, you know, this has been blown completely out of proportion, but it's, my point is that it's based on science fear. The scientists have to sell fear. The news media has to sell fear. The politicians have to sell fear. The companies that make drugs have to sell fear. The Center for Disease Control has to sell fear. Otherwise, who would pay attention to them? The reporting on, I want you all, I'll repeat this just because it's short, but there's a woman, her name is Lorraine Day, Dr. Lorraine Day. She did an interview the other day on Veritas Radio. So I suggest you go there. It's a one-hour interview. It's really good, packed full of information. So listen to my interview with John yesterday and listen to the Lorraine Day interview with Veritas Radio. I think it was just a couple days ago when they recorded that. And you'll get an understanding that, yeah, everything that you're hearing in the mainstream media and even what you used to consider reliable media has bitten on this thing hook, line, and sinker. Because nobody wants to say, just like 9/11, nobody wants to be the first person to stand up and say, hey, this is all, you know, pure BS, pure BS. Nobody in the main news media wants to do that because they'd be ostracized. Oh, look at, you're against the, you're against the scientific facts. No, you know, they're all peddling ratings. They're all peddling ratings. They're all deathly afraid that you're going to turn off their channel and listen to someplace else. Well, okay. So, but selling science fear. So whether it's medicine, science, NASA, that something's going to crash into Earth, we're all going to die. You know, the pharmaceutical industry, the Center for Disease Control, which is hand in hand with the pharmaceutical industry. They're a revolving door between government, the AMA, the American Medical Association, and the pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, it's just a big revolving door and giving you bogus solutions. There's a statistic that 75% of the women who are diagnosed with breast cancer don't have breast cancer. I was diagnosed with, and I know a lot of people who are diagnosed with prostate cancer. Never had it. Probably never will. You know, it's a medical industry that's gone absolutely off the rails. Okay. So, but the one summarizing point, coronavirus is the 911, but on a worldwide scale. That's it. It's a contrived story pulled out of the rabbit hat, and it's the 9/11 of the entire world. I just wanted to comment on international monetary exchange rates, something that I follow just kind of for fun. And you can do this too. You look up on a webpage, it's called x-rates.com. And when you get there, on the upper left-hand side of the corner, you pick the currencies that you want to compare. The first one, the upper one, you pick as the U.S. dollar. And then the lower one is the one you want to compare to. And then what I typically look at is the graph. There's a number of selections there for how you want to see the data. Excuse me, how you want to see the data. And I usually pick, it's called the graph. And it gives you the data as the international exchange rate goes up and down. But what you'll see is just start picking countries. For example, you can start out with the euro and realize that that is going, and if the line is going up, that means the U.S. dollar is becoming stronger versus that currency. If the curve is going down, then the U.S. dollar is becoming weaker. And you can see even now across the board, the euro is tanking. The Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, the British pound. British pound is, well, it's going down in value too, not as much as the euro. And they're probably happy that they got rid of Europe. Oh my goodness. I mean, the people in England must be so glad that they got out just a short while ago before all of this virus stuff hit. that they got away from the European Union, because they would be controlled from basically Denmark or Brussels or somewhere else. At any rate, check out that x-rates.com page to look at the trends in international monetary exchange rates. And the thing is, this is all funny money. These exchanges, to have currencies changing by this much, this rapidly, is not right. I mean, it's just bogus. It just shows you that the only reason it's there for is for people to do trading, instantaneous trading, the sell-off or the buying or the short-selling or whatever they're doing to try and game the system. And they're making money off of the changes in the valuation of currencies. What an absolutely absurd concept. Okay, now I'm going to take you to a few other places in the world. In the United States, you do not get news. I travel a lot. I go to places, and I get news from many other sources outside of the United States. And I'll tell you, you get such, even from places that you think you trust, like, I don't know, some of your trusted sources, they really don't have a clue what's going on in the rest of the planet. They're really out of touch with the mindset of people in other countries. So I'll give you a little taste of it right now. First of all, most countries in the world have shut their borders. They don't allow anybody in or out and from any place. And so the borders are closed. Most countries are shut down completely. They've simply shut down all businesses, certainly the schools. Tourism is just shut off. And but I'll tell you about a country that's doing quite well. It's called China. Now, let's look at what happened here. And this is becoming the reality that we're getting from all of the sources who are studying this. These are medical sources outside the United States. The United States, in conjunction maybe with another country, set up a bioterrorism. This whole coronavirus thing was instigated from the United States. It was planted in China. The best most people can tell is it's from the American alleged military sporting team that went to China and was in these games. They're like world games of some kind. But this was a fake sports team. There's been absolutely no investigation from the American side, but they supposedly the American military team that was from the American military brought the virus into Wuhan, where they hung out right there, right at ground zero. And they didn't win any medals. They won enough, they were like 40th in place, something like, I forget what number, but out of all the, 50 countries that participated, they were like 40th. And here's our amazing American military, with all the facilities and all of the, supposedly best athletic prowess in the world. And they come in 40th in a lot of the things they didn't even participate in. So anyway, this is the source of the virus in Wuhan. And this is back in late October 2019. Okay, so then when the first case of this virus shows up, they start looking immediately for what they call person zero. In other words, who's the person that brought this in? Because the people that got it and the first ones who were diagnosed with it were not the original source. And then, of course, they tried to blame it on the fish market. Really ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. It's well known that this is a military biovirus from the United States. The patent numbers, and there are companies that were already working on a vaccination. In fact, there's indications that the Israelis and other and some private companies already had what they would call a vaccination. So this, like, oh, we're going to quick get a vaccination together, baloney, is just that. It's baloney. They had been working on this already. Okay, so anyway, here's the point. China, I have contacts in China, and the whole story that China was shut down, if you look on CNN this morning, they said that China, after months of lockdown, no, there were not months of lockdown. There was about a couple weeks of lockdown in China. It started around mid-February where they realized they had a problem. They shut it down. They closed the gates. And Trump didn't really have to stop the travel from China. They already stopped it from their end. And people were still going to work. But you have to understand that was the time of the Chinese New Year. The factories were closed for Chinese New Year, not because of the virus. And the people that were going to work went to work, and they went straight home. And yes, there was a lockdown. And the other day, the Chinese lifted the lockdown, and life in China is back to normal. Now, here's the end result. As the United States starts to go into what is a dribbling of increasing amounts of supposed test cases with this virus, which is questionable in itself, and questionable also that there are deaths occurring from this because of this virus, that's questionable. These numbers appear to be exaggerated greatly by the CDC and places like Johns Hopkins University, those Eastern universities. I've been in them. You can flush them down the toilet. They are worthless. Okay, so anyway, the end result is that China is back to work. They have isolated their problem. They're not going to let it in again. They are now much wiser, and they're not going to let the United States come in and do another whammy on them. But the end result is China is off and running. China's manufacturing might is running at 100% right now. You're not going to hear this in the so-called Western media. I don't care who you listen to or who you talk to or whatever. You're not going to hear this. But the end result is China is going to start, and Russia. Putin realized immediately that this was an American virus. He said it out loud. He said, this is an American virus. They're playing bioterrorism. And Russia was expecting this. I mean, and frankly, I was too. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. But the end result is that the United States is very ill-prepared. If Mike Pence, sleepy Mike Pence, when you see Mike Pence talk, he looks like one of those dolls that you pull the cord. I think he's got a cord back behind his suit. And you pull the cord, and he has certain platitudes that come out of his mouth. And he moves his head, and he kind of stares straight ahead. If that's the best you can do in the United States to run your coronavirus program, you got some serious problems. Because Mike is looks like a nice guy, but doggone, I'm sorry, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have what it takes. I don't know how these people, anyway, whatever. But the end result is the United States is going to continue to dribble out and slowly shut down state by state, city by city, and they're going to be conned into this vaccination game where they're going to want everybody to get this stupid vaccination, which has not been tested. Nobody knows if it works, first of all, let alone is it dangerous? Does it have long-term effects? Does it conflict with other things? I mean, they don't know anything about this. And if they've been studying it for years, well, then that opens up the books and tells us exactly what we already know, that they had been working on the coronavirus and the vaccination a long time ago. Okay, so at any rate, once again, China is running at 100%. They're off and running. This is behind them. This is history. This is a small page in the history of the Chinese move for world dominance. And I'll tell you, they're going to move out. They're going to start. There's going to be two options, which there weren't the options before. The little countries, the South American third world countries, the African third world countries, the Mideastern third world countries, etc., and a lot of the European, especially Eastern European countries, are going to look to China for trade and loans to bring them back. And also to look at China, like, what did you do? How did you get up and running so quick? Well, the Chinese have been through this before. They've had MERS dumped on them, SARS. These were all bioweapons that came at them before. So they know what to do. When they saw this hit, they knew immediately what was going on. And unlike anything you've heard in the Western press, they knew exactly what to do. So they shut down, and it just happened to be coincidental, I don't know, or bad planning on the part of the New World Order people, the Bill Gateses of the world, that it was right during the Chinese New Year holidays, which is about 3 weeks long. It's not a day like we have, where the people go out and get drunk and then get over their hangover the next day, and then they go back to work. That's the United States New Year's. The Chinese have 3 weeks off, and they, you know, they visit their families, they, you know, go back home, and it's this Chinese New Year's is a big deal every year, and they take a lot of time off. Okay, I know because when that's going on, they're shut down. They are, the whole country. And then they go back to work. That's the way the Chinese do it. But during the lockdown, it hit at exactly the same time as the Chinese New Year. So really, they didn't lose a step in terms of manufacturing. They did not lose a heartbeat in terms of manufacturing. And the ones that were critical to the Chinese, basically what they call critical services, were still running. And the people went to work, and they went home. They didn't go out to party afterwards. They didn't stop off at the local bar. They didn't go buy groceries. They didn't do anything. They went to work, and they went home. And they monitored the people very closely, and they isolated the cases of the coronavirus, which they had in their country. They isolated them, and they found out who the sources were, and they were very meticulous. And now everybody can go back out and live in society and shake hands or do whatever they want to do because they understand that they have isolated the thing that's now a problem that's being handled. And let's look at the United States Medical Services. The Chinese had special places where people would go to. They didn't take them to the regular hospitals. It's really stupid to take anybody that's sick, especially with something that's a variant like the coronavirus, to a regular hospital. That is really, really stupid. Remember there was the Ebola scare where they had Ebola all over the hospitals. People were going to the hospital to have a kidney transplant and they ended up with Ebola. Yeah, this was the United States. So when Mike Pence assures you that we have the best medical system in the world, don't believe him. It's a pile of crap, and they depend on medications that don't work, medical procedures that don't work, and, you know, I could go on and on. The United States, let me just give you some examples. The United States lags behind many third world South American countries in the quality of medicine and medical coverage. And a lot of these countries have a tier system of clinics. They don't have, it's not like the United States where you have your clinics and you have your hospitals and there's like a single tier. A lot of the third world countries have local clinics where people go if you stubbed your toe or if you got bit by a scorpion like I did once. I went into a facility. Or if you had other maladies like I've had in traveling and third world countries, and you go into a little clinic, and that's where they treat minor things. You don't go to the hospital for a stubbed toe. You don't go to the hospital for minor issues. You go to a clinic, and you might go to a very small local clinic for a very small problem. And if they can't handle it, then they send you up to the next level. And that's the way they deal with it. In the United States, there's nothing like that because the AMA wants all that money. You know, they don't want you going to some cheap, inexpensive clinic. because that would offset the money that's pouring in to all of their assignees. Okay, and the same with the drugs, everything else. That's why public medicine cannot work in the United States, because they only have a single tier system of clinics and medical attention. If you started, especially if you had like the people training to be doctors or the people training to be nurses, and they would go and get trained on the job training, so to speak, in these small local clinics, because when people come in, a lot of it's routine. You don't need to be a medical doctor to see somebody that stubbed their toe. But that's the way it is in the United States. And that doctor gets, you know, hundreds of dollars for that office call for somebody that stubbed their toe. And if you have that kind of medical attention and expense, then everybody can't have medical care. And that's why it's going to cost quadrillions and quadrillions of dollars for the sociopaths who want medical care for all. The best system in the United States, given what it has, is private insurance through employment. But now, I just heard a statistic, 18% of people in the United States are all of a sudden unemployed. And this is going to go on. They're going to drag this on and on and on. This is going to go on for months in the United States. While China, while Russia, and while a bunch of other countries have eliminated the issue and are moving on. So in this respect, the United States is not going to be able to catch up. Because once you lose that cycle of supply and the supply chain and fulfilling and having the money, you know, cash flow and all of these things in a business, which I deal with all the time, if you're a company, and I'm just going to say this, everything I'm doing so far is still operating. The water filter is still operating. The wing generator stuff still operating. The shipping containers still operating. The Numana food still operating. All of the things that I have on my webpage are still going. They're still going on. But most companies in the United States are not lacking because of the Chinese supply chain. They're lacking because of the American supply chain. Okay, so anyway, the United States is going to fall way behind, and it's going to take a long time to get this thing going. Because once you get the transportation, the air, you know, this is a very complex, the United States economy is extremely big and extremely complex. And to slam the door on it one day, and then someday expect this thing is going to get up to speed again, ain't going to happen. It just is not going to happen. So the idea that the European banks are going to put stimulus money into the United States and somehow revive it like a cancer patient that died, and you're going to try and put blood back in his, you're going to give a blood transfusion to a dead cancer patient. Let me tell you, boys and girls, it's not going to happen. And China is off and running. Russia is off and running. Putin shut the door right away. He knew what was going on. He knew it was an American virus that they planted. And this is going to backfire on the United States. It was caused by basically the New World Order. And throw in the CIA. They are the police force of the World Bank. It has their name written all over it, just like 9/11. And, you know, talk about taking a country and sending it into a spiral nosedive into the dirt. This was meant to take China down and punish China. But that's not happening. China is up and running again. China is 100%. I will repeat that. China is operating at 100%. And because of the United States is not going to be their main customer anymore, because the United States is all messed up and can't get its act together and shut this thing down, What the United States should have done is just shut the doors, shut everything down, go on a two-week vacation, everybody, stay at home, don't move, and then we'd isolate everybody that's got this, just like China did. Okay, now it's isolated. Now we can all go back to shaking hands. And for those people that like to kiss on the cheek when they meet somebody, they can do that. Or they, you know, taking the kids to school or taking the kids off to the ball game or having the sporting event, shutting down an entire season of sporting events and everything else. I mean, basically, the United States, as you know it, does not exist anymore. Sporting goods, you know, events of all kinds, meetings, conferences, everything shut down and there's no end in sight. China is up and running at 100%. And they're going to shut the door on the United States because the United States is not taking care of business. The United States does not have a situation in place where it's going to isolate. And what it appears is that somebody is going around in the United States and dropping off little vials of this virus here and there, old folks' homes, let me see, other places, you know. I'm expecting that, you know, if this calms down and the United States gets close to the point where they're going to start operating again, all of a sudden you're going to have another explosive event in some major city. Oh, no, another 5,000 cases, and everybody's got to shut everything down again. The United States is, this is going to backfire on the United States, and, I'll be honest, I will say this again. I said this on the John Moore Show. By the way, this is not what I talked about on the John Moore Show. I will not repeat what I talked about there. But I will say that Trump appears very much to be compromised. That's all I'll say. He's very much compromised in the middle of this whole thing. And if you look at some of his political connections to a single foreign country, if you know who I mean, then it appears that they are somehow in this mix also, just like they were on 9/11. Okay, with that said, I'm going to jump into a couple other issues dealing with just science, space science, etc. But as I said before, go listen to John Moore's show, The Liberty Man, Wednesday morning, the 18th of March, first hour. I'm the first hour, 1 hour. And that was a show. And before the show, I talked to John. I said, John, I don't want any guests. I don't want any call-ins. And John said, yep, that's great. And so that's what we did. So I had the whole hour there without people calling in. And it's nice and sometimes to have people call in, but I'll tell you, there's some real plants that call in there sometimes too. Some government people that are there to disrupt what I'm trying to say. Okay, so, and also make sure you listen to the Dr. Lorraine Day interview with Veritas Radio. Very important interview with a lot of detail there. Okay, on to another topic. Oops, I am sorry. I do have another topic to cover here dealing with not only the coronavirus, but viruses in general. And I'm just going to let this out there that I am personally working on a program to test the efficacy of a certain treatment. And it's a very simple treatment, very available. And no, it's not x-rays or it's not some kind of special ray gun or something like that. It's a very simple treatment that anybody has access to almost any place in the world. And so that will be, it's already underway. And it's something that has been known about. Going back to the research I've done, I've found references to this going all the way back into the 1930s and the early 1900s. So, and I'm not sure how much farther back it goes, but that's about the time period when the benefits of this certain, I'm not going to say particular, I won't say anything to give you a hint, But this was known about as far back as the 1930s. It was used, and it was used as kind of a home medicine type of thing, one of these kind of home cures that people learned and worked for things like flu and a cold. And by the way, these are all the same. I mean, there's different types of virus. There's retroviruses, and there's the coronaviruses, and there's the, you know, I can name off an entire list of all the different categories of viruses which cause colds and flu and various other to respiratory, pneumonia, and in some cases cancer. But there's a remedial treatment that has been known about. And of course, it's not noted. I looked, it's not noted in any of the medical literature, and for very good reason, because they want to sell you something. It's like when Thomas Edison, for example, when they invented the first battery, the first liquid battery, it was seawater. Because you can take seawater and you put a bimetallic strip in there, and the difference in surface potential of the metals causes a current to flow, and that's a battery. And so, but you can't patent seawater. So the Edison battery used the next step up in the periodic table, and instead of sodium chloride, patented the next element up in the periodic table, and they actually sold it for a very long period of time. I have a picture. I think it's in my weather book, but it might be in the Atlantis to Tesla book. I can't remember offhand. But I have a picture of a original Edison battery that was used on the railroad. It was in a railroad museum when I saw it, and it was a working model. They still had the little, here's how it worked. You would get, it's like a big canister of made out of glass, round, maybe a foot tall, and maybe 8 inches in diameter, and a piece of glass. It's just like a container of glass. Then it had a cover that was like a fiber-type material, and in there was one plate that stuck down into the liquid, and the liquid was simply water and this envelope of powder that they sent along with it. So you'd fill up this thing with water, you'd pour in the powder, and that would activate the battery, and it was a nickel plate and a lead plate, if I'm not mistaken. It was the original Edison battery. And they had racks of these, and they would then be able to turn on the light when a train's coming to tell the train, you know, there's certain signals, and the conductor would see the signal and know he's going to change tracks, or he's got to stop, or there's passengers, or, you know, something like that. So they had rows and columns of these batteries hooked together, and they were low voltage, like a volt each, but when you put them in series and in parallel, you got as big a battery as literally as you wanted. Okay, so that was the original Edison battery, and there are people right now who are trying to revive the construction of the Edison battery and sell them. They've approached me. I've talked to them about potentially using them with the wing generator, but they're also quite expensive relative to the standard gel and liquid acid types of batteries, deep cycle batteries. Okay, so at any rate, the point that I'm talking about there is that way back in the time of Edison, they knew that you could not patent natural materials. So they found something else, sometimes similar. In fact, they say that a lot of the pharmaceuticals have natural medicines in them, natural healing, like essential oils or something like that. And that's what actually has the effect on you, but they can't patent that. So they put it in there without telling you, but then they put some other kind of chemical in there, and that's what they're selling you, which doesn't work. And this is a common theme in pharmaceuticals, where they substitute a natural ingredient as the active ingredient, but don't tell you. Anyway, it's an insane world that we live in. A lot of corruption, a lot of lying and cheating, especially in the medical industry. The CDC, the World Health Organization, these people are crooked as the day is long. You cannot believe a word they say. Okay, so now with that said, I'm going to jump on to the another topic here. There's something I've been looking at, and this is still related to the coronavirus. These are important topics. And they're starting to talk about a lot of misinformation on the internet, which there is. There's a boatload of misinformation about fake cures and things to do and misinformation. But it's like space science, something I've worked in my whole life. People don't trust NASA. People do not trust NASA at all. And when, for example, when I started pounding on NASA in the 1980s, I was telling people NASA is a corrupt organization. They're lying. They're fudging data. They're hiding data. They're throwing data away. They're not reporting data that don't agree with their pet theories. They're, you know, it's a clubhouse atmosphere. They're getting rubber stamp publishing in Nature and Science magazine. And nobody can get in a question. And people said, yo, you're just, you're crazy. How could NASA be wrong? NASA is golden. They can't do, everything they do is perfect. Until I just kept saying it and repeating it and on radio shows long before, believe me, anybody you have around today, I was there a long time before any of them, literally. And doing my thing, my story hasn't changed. But my point is that after I started convincing people and on my radio show has been around for 20 years, commercial free. I've never had sponsors. I don't have commercials. I don't have anybody giving me money to do this radio show. I pay for my airtime out of my pocket, out of my, you know, the water filter sales and things like that that are going on, you know. People have come to learn not to trust the government. So when somebody comes in and says, oh, you should always listen only to official trusted sources, meaning the government. No, people have learned, don't listen to your government. They're a bunch of liars. They're covering their butt. They cannot be trusted as far as you could throw them. Most of them are pretty overweight. No, you cannot trust the government at all. Nobody does. And that leads to the situation where all of this other massive disinformation comes in. It's the government that nobody trusts that causes the problem of everybody trying to make up some kind of story on their own. People listen to me because I've been around the block. When I analyze something, when I say something, it's because I have a very good BS meter. I know these agencies like the CIA and the CDC and these agencies. I've been around the universities where they have their nose up in the air and their finger up their nose at the same time, not knowing what they're doing at all and pretending they're knowing what they're doing. So the government and the lack of trust of government and government agencies is the cause of disinformation going on WhatsApp or Facebook or other social media being passed around, because people are looking for some kind of answer, but they know they're not going to get it from the news media. They're not going to get it from the government. When somebody from the government stands up and we're doing everything we can, the risk to the American public is low. It's just a bunch of crap. I mean, go back to the movie V for Vendetta. That's a movie that is so well done and so much characterizes exactly what we're going through today. The movie V for Vendetta, I mean, hit it nail on the head, and we are living that movie right now. I will mention something also, that when these biolabs do studies on human-related viruses, they can only use these on rats and monkeys and animals and dogs and stuff like that, and cats, whatever, to a certain degree. At a certain point, they need human beings to they need human beings to experiment on. And so there are laboratories, and they're hidden, they're underground in places. I've heard stories about them, horror stories, where they kidnap people and experiment on them in underground cells where they're completely contained, and they're human specimens where they're doing biowarfare, literally like in the movie V for Vendetta, where they're experimenting on people. And this is, I mean, the corruption that's going on here, the level of insanity that's going on behind the scenes is beyond reproach. And the American people have to wake up and understand that this has been going on. This virus, this coronavirus, which is real, it's a military biograde, you know, level four biograde biohazard virus manufactured in the laboratory. And, you know, it was put out there. Somebody put this out there. Probably somebody from the United States or in coordination with the United States. That's where this came from. And they were working on human specimens to develop this to its final stages. I mean, this is pretty stark material to be handing off on a radio show where I should be doing space science and talking about wind energy and other topics. But this is reality. You have to realize that the CDC and the WHO are covering up for what they have to know is going on. There's a new Cosmos series out now with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I saw part of this. And I mean, they're just, it's a rehash of the earlier Tyson revision of Sagan's Cosmos series, which when I was at Cornell University, 1979 to 81, Carl wasn't there. He was in Hollywood doing the Cosmos series, which was released in like early 1981, I think, something like that. And then, of course, he was traveling in a, you know, big international hero. But this, once again, I mean, they pound the ideas of evolution, cosmic evolution, and biological evolution. And it's just a supposition. But when they put it in there, for example, when they show how the Earth is formed, they forget to mention where the water came from. It's one of the quagmires of this idea that there was big impacts that occurred to form the Earth and then the Moon. Because if there were big impacts, then any volatiles, including water, would be outgassed and go off into outer space and never return. So where did the oceans come from? Where did all of Earth's water, water in the atmosphere, and fresh water, and some of it salt water, where did all that come from? I mean, they don't have any explanation at all. And Mars had water, Mars had oceans of water, but they go, oh, that was billions of years ago. When you can see the, if it was billions of years ago, these amazing dust storms that occur on Mars all the time would have eroded them away and completely destroyed them. You have small meandering riverbeds that are pristine and crystal clear on the surface of Mars. And no, these would not be there more than, you know, a few thousand years with these horrendous dust storms that are occurring on Mars all the time. So the show is kind of a gee whiz show for, I guess, NASA Trekkies, people that are impressed by big numbers and good graphics and nice animation. But to a scientist who wants to have real answers to real questions, there's nothing there. It's pure fluff. I guess that's the best you could say, is it's like it's the foam on the top of a beer. You know, you blow it off into the wind and it's a bunch of bubbles going off in the wind. That's all it is. It's a bunch of fluff. And unfortunately, this is being pawned off on the public as some kind of science. It's the same thing as the 1980 Cosmos series, and the public has been fed this line of baloney ever since. So at any rate, that's why I have my books. That's why I have my paid cast. And this radio show, unfortunately, sometimes turns into a venue for other very important topics, because my analysis, like the analysis tonight, telling you that China is up and running and moving ahead, while we're sitting here, you know, with Mike Pence picking his nose and somebody pulling the string out the backside of his suit coat and making him say something, some platitude, you know, that's where the United States is, and it ain't good. You know, we are going to be light years ahead of getting this machine going. See, the Chinese didn't lose anything. The Chinese did not lose any time because they were off for New Year's anyway. Their three-week New Year's time off, instead of just traveling around and doing everything they normally do and having fireworks and everything the Chinese do, parades with dragons and all of that, they just stayed at home. And then when they got done with that three-week shutdown, they all went back to work at the same time they normally would have been going back to work. So the Chinese did not lose a step. This planted virus to try and take China down did not work. It's going to have a reverse whammy effect on the United States. We're the ones that are going to pay the piper for this. And of course, that if you look at the New World Order goal, it's to take down the United States. And this might do it. It might do it because Trump is not at the helm. I'm sorry on this one. They've got him by the some body part. I don't know which one, but he's not the Trump that's in charge anymore. I frankly think that they probably have. I'm not going to make speculation, and maybe he's trying to do a good job, but he's surrounded by people that are just dominating this situation, and he doesn't have enough wherewithal to get up and say, hey, this is a bunch of crap. We're not going to do this. We're not going to sacrifice our country for a bunch of wackos. One of his biggest mistakes is he went to the CDC, the most corrupt agency in Washington, you know, to try and get some answers. That's his problem. He's getting really bad information, and no, you should not trust the government, nor should you trust the government sources of information. Like I said, that's the reason there is a lot of misinformation. It opens up the door for misinformation, just like in this world of space. Nobody trusts NASA, so there's all kinds of internet yahoos running around spouting off ridiculous things about outer space because NASA leaves a gaping hole there because nobody trusts NASA. Okay, well, remember my webpage. I've got the water filters are still being sold there. I'm the only person really that has water filters available, plus the wing generator, the water products, the container products, Numana Foods. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. The webpage, jmccsci.com. This is my Science Hour, and we are at the crossroads. Good night.